reigning as kings in life. Now, Mommy's message, you put the title, Making Jesus Lord of Your Life. Jesus is Lord, but is he Lord of your own particular life? And that's what Mommy Sarah was sharing with us. So when you're sending out the message, that's the title, Making Jesus Lord of Your Life. Then, now reigning as kings in life. It is the will of God that we reign as kings in life. Give me Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Heavenly Father, as we enter your word again, we enter in it with the reverence that it deserves, fully conscious of the limitations of the human mind to deliver and to receive the infinite wisdom of God that has been compressed into human words in this written word. We need help to decode and unravel this great wisdom. And therefore we pray for fresh anointing and unction from you, that I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. And I ask that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing wills to be more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray that as we speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they'll become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery, that I will do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring out treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving each blessing I mention in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me and said, Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. I'd like this in the Amplified Bible, if you don't mind. For if because of one man's, let's all read together if you don't mind. For if because of one man's trespass, lapse or offense, death reigned through that one. Death reigned through Adam. Much more surely, turn to your neighbor and say, I like God's word, it's always sure. Much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, that's enough for a clap offering for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, it says God wants us to reign as kings in life. The Greek word for life, there's the word zoe. Zoe is the life of God. It is the substance inside God that makes God God. We shared this many years ago, you know, as Father hath life in himself. So what is life? It's what God has in himself. Hallelujah. You know, you have to have that understanding. And the best way to think of it is called the living water. So it's like blood. You know, blood flows inside the human body, you know, and that's what keeps us alive physically. Now, zoe is what flows inside the human spirit that keeps it alive spiritually. The analogies are very simple and easy to understand. Now, he says you're going to reign as a king in that zoe. In other words, zoe is what is going to enable you to reign as a king. Now, you know, most people, when they... Well, not most people. Let me say this as accurately as I can and should. You know, a lot of people, when they hear this, they think physically. In other words, they think, well, you know, God's going to prosper me. And, you know, I'm going to have a lot of money. And I'm going to have a nice house. And I'm going to have a nice car. And so I'm going to reign like a king in this life. That thinking is not wrong. It's just that it's very incomplete. because it's a very tiny portion of what God really has in mind. So it's not just reigning, it's not just living well in this life. It's not just dominating in this life because of, you know, financial and social well-being. He's talking about something that's far more profound and spiritual. He's saying we're going to reign as kings in Zoe. In this lifetime, of course. But kings in Zoe. Now, Zoe, like we said, is the very life of God. It is the thing that makes God God. Everything, watch this, you can see today came from Zoe. The chair you are sitting on came from Zoe. The sun in the sky came from Zoe. The planets, the solar systems and the galaxies, the aeroplanes you fly, everything. The Bible says in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Bible says, you know, without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that exists, everything that is, both spiritual as well as physical, visible, like Pastor Kuhn was reading today from Colossians, or invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, angels, principalities, they all came from Zoe originally. What God does is this. This is what I call some type of spiritual mechanics. You know, we're getting to understand a little bit better the reality of spiritual things, you know, through revelation knowledge over many years. You know, so spiritual things to me now, I'm talking about myself as a person, and it will be the same for you as you grow spiritually. You know, they're not strange again. They're not mysterious. They're clear to me, you know. They're getting clearer, you know. What happens is actually this. Zoe is converted to power. Then God releases the power out of his mouth, from his heart. And when that power goes out of God, it now creates whatever it is God wants to create. But the original substance from which that power is made is Zoe. That is why we reign as kings in Zoe. Without Zoe, or let's paraphrase that in a different way. If you don't have sufficient Zoe, you can't reign. You just won't have enough. To reign means to dominate. Like I shared a few weeks ago, to rule. You know, it says, rule in the midst of the... Send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule or reign, same thing. You know, different words, but same meaning. So we reign in Zoe. And that's why, give me Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. In the King James, please stay with the King James until I tell you otherwise. King James is our baseline. You know, we get everything right in King James. Then we now just take the modern translations to make things clearer. But if you leave the King James and go to modern, you will lose a lot of things. I can tell you from experience, you know, revelation knowledge over the years. Thank God I was brought up on the King James. If this Zoe thing, for example, if you read in the modern translations, you won't get it. Or Pastor Kuhn was quoting from Psalm 119. You know, quicken me, quicken me, quicken me. Give life, give life, give life. If you read in the other translations, it says, refresh me. And, you know, it just waters it down. You lose the meaning completely. So, where the word of a king is. Do you notice that he didn't say the king, he said a king. Meaning that this thing has universal applicability. In other words, it's God, but it's not only for God, it's for any other person who grows up spiritually to become a king. Now, where the word of a king is, there is what? Dunamis. Now, he didn't say life, he said power. You know, and who may say unto him, what doest thou? This is where we get Kabiesi from. the Yoruba people, we call in Yoruba language, the title for the king, one of the titles of the king, is Kabiyesi. That just means Kabiyosi, which means, you know, we can't ask you any question, which is the same thing here. The Hebrews, we got it from here, actually. I don't know how we got it, but we got it. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost somehow just downloaded it to us. Amen. Somebody was doing some research recently on the anthropology of the Yorubas and the Jews, and he brought something from Jeremiah that looks like Uruba, something like that. But I'm not going into that. You know. So they traced it that there is a link between the Yorubas and the Jews, and I believe it, because I can see the spiritual links from the Bible. Anyway, so, you know, you don't question a king. Kabiyosi. So he's saying that here. He says, where the word of a king, if you have, let's first look natural, then we'll come to spiritual. Look at natural kings who are powerful, like David, Solomon. Back in the olden days, you know, kings had absolute power. Whom they would, they slew. Whom they would, they kept alive. Nebuchadnezzar says, where the word of a king? All he has to say is the word. The Yoruba people say, Ashe wa lenu oba. The word Ashe means to do. Ashe, that means it will happen. So when a king says, Elo gbe fun mi, you know, Eje ki gbese le gbas. Trust me, it's going to happen. You know, because he has, his word has authority and power, and then people will go in the natural, either his soldiers or whoever he's appointed will go and execute the word of the king. Now, that's in the natural, but in the spiritual, what actually happens? The same thing, but a far higher level. When a king talks and speaks God's word in the spiritual realm, the Zoe in him, we're talking about reigning as kings in life, goes from the belly down here into the chest up here. This transition from the belly to the chest converts it from life to power. Say, Pastor, how does he do that? I don't know. I'm not the Holy Ghost. All I know is that that's what happens. I have enough revelation to know that's what happens. You know, we're dealing with the internal mechanisms of God. This is how God is. He takes the life that is inside him, you know, and you know God, you know, we are made in the image and likeness of God. God is not an orangutan, and he doesn't all float in the sky. You know, he knows some impersonal, you know, great mind that is locked in some cloud somewhere. Amen. We are like God. So whenever you think of God, think about yourself. Now, don't misunderstand me about that. What I mean is that God has our shape. You know, so when God wants to do anything, he's got Zoe in him. Then he takes some of that Zoe, you know, into his heart, into his chest region, you know, and then he now speaks it. When he speaks it, between the chest and the mouth, you know, is power. When he gets out of his mouth, he has power to create. That's why you say light be. And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. Now, check the book of Genesis. You know, in the book of Hebrews, I like that. You know, it says, you know, God is upholding all things by the word of his power. So when you and I, as you and I begin to operate as kings, when we speak God's word with a heart full of Zoe, by the workings of the Holy Spirit inside our hearts, the power of the Holy Spirit, he takes that life, converts it to power, and then it comes out of our mouth. Guess what? It will create just like God's own creates. Same thing. That's why I say you are God's. Just the no difference. The only difference is level of power. You know, let me just tell you something exciting. When we get to heaven, we're not going to be singing songs for the next 1 million years. Can you imagine? You're singing choruses for 1 million years. And God said, look, I made that galaxy there. You try it out. That's what you'll be doing in terms of, you know, I've created somewhere for you. Okay, you two speak like I spoke. Woo! That's something to think about. Amen. And you say it, and all kinds of stars and galaxies you'll begin to come out of your mouth. Woo! Now, that's interesting. That's better than your singing choruses for 1,000,000 years. Amen. You know, heaven's going to be very nice. Trust me. You know, I'm not missing it for anything. Are you listening to me? The Bible says that in the ages to come, he will show unto us the exceeding riches of all this wisdom and glory that he has reserved for you. It'd be far from boring. Trust me. Anyway, so you speak God's word and it becomes power. And then that power creates. That's the crucial thing here. Now, in the natural, I said that if a natural king, like Nebuchadnezzar or Solomon back in the olden days, you know, like when Nebuchadnezzar said, oh yeah, carry them, you know, and throw them in the fire. It wasn't Nebuchadnezzar who did it. He had some strong people in his army. They were lay hold on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw them into the fire. Now, in the same way, in the spirit, when you and I speak and we say, be healed, or God supplies all my needs, or whatever. You know, when you speak that word, power comes out of your mouth. And you know what? The angels. Now, we don't have physical servants, but we have angels. The Bible says they hearken unto the voice of his word. And those angels will now take that power that came out of your mouth. Then they will now use it to create and to make whatever it is that you said. Not pie in the sky or reality, folks. Are you listening to me? This is real. So, God, that's how we reign as kings in life. We literally reign. We use the Zoe, converted to power, and we come out of my mouth. Now, there's a lot of other detailed spiritual mechanics, you know, that we know from the Word of God. The actual intricacies and details, a lot of it we don't know yet. You know, probably that's what we're going to learn when we get to heaven. You know, but what we do know is this, is that it's not just when you say the word in a language that you know, like English or Yoruba or whatever language you speak, but even when you're speaking in tongues, when you're groaning, when you're travailing, whether it's travail, whether it's tongues, whether it's just speaking words in confession, it's all power. At different measures. It's all power. And when you now combine all of that different kinds of power together, the tongues, the travail, and all that, you give a lot to the angels to work with. So they can actually create and bring to physical manifestation what you have said. That's literally how you reign as a king in life. Now, why does God want us to... if you notice, in the last few weeks, all these messages have been coming, ruling with diligence, reigning as a king. And mommy brought this morning, Jesus is Lord. Pastor, Bible says, when the Holy Ghost starts talking like that, it's because something is coming. And he wants to get us ready for it. You know? So, why should we reign as kings in life now? It's always been true in the Bible. You know, it's just that in God, there are always times and seasons for God's purposes. Are you listening to me? It's always been true. You know, and down through the ages, down through the millennia and centuries, here and there, we've had some Christians who would stumble upon this truth. The word stumble is not exactly the best word. Who would be led by the Holy Spirit into this truth because of the honesty of their hearts and have demonstrated to some degree this reigning as a king. Of course, the best example, the most wonderful example is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus actually literally reigned as a king in life. That's what he did in the boat. Pastor Craig was sharing those on Wednesday. The guy is sleeping. After, you know, Jesus used to get up early in the morning. He's not like you. Hello. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know, but I'm becoming more like Jesus. I repent. And start getting up early in the morning. I'll tell your neighbor, say, do you want to reign as a king in life? Then get up a great while before dawn and pray. Observe something. Jesus gets up that's his habit, 4 o'clock, between 3 a.m. and 6, you know. And he gets up, does his all praying, and then comes out, preaches to people, lay hands on the sick. He can imagine the amount of power that have been going out of him. Then he said, let's go to the other side. Man is tired. I like the Bible because it's an honest book. And it shows you the humanity of Jesus. Jesus is tired. Right, but guy gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning, he's preached, he's ministered. That was the same when he preached the parable of the sower. He had preached so many messages. He said, you know, all you just read is parables of the sower. The Bible says, and with many such parables. So it wasn't that alone he's preached, you know. Most Jesus' preaching used to go anywhere from maybe 4 to 8 hours. Sometimes they would start in the morning. Hello? They don't go until about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the evening, you know, and then they go and look for a hotel or wherever, then they come back the next day. That's why one time we said, look, these people will be tired now. You know, in this place where we are, they can't buy any food. If they start going home, they will be weak, and some of them can faint. Jesus is nice, isn't he? Thinks of everything. Hallelujah. You know, so that's the kind of person we're dealing with. You know, so he'd been preaching. So it was after, it was evening. It was maybe about 5. You know, when the sun is going down. They didn't have electricity like we have today. So he now sends everybody away. Oh, look. You know, don't let them go in the dark. You know, so about 5:30, they said the grace and close the service. Praise the Lord. Amen. Nothing is changed, though. It's the truth. You know, so he now says, let's go to the other side. They were on this side. He sent the people away. So they got into a boat. You know. I said, let's go to the other side. So, of course, you know, Peter is a fisherman. John. These guys who they've lived all their lives on boats. They know exactly how to. Jesus didn't have to start giving them lecture on how to maneuver the boat or anything. This was what they did for a living. So Jesus just takes it easy. You know, and goes down, you know, into the lower part of the boat. Gets a pillow and dozes off, sleeps. You know, the man has said, let us go to the other side. There was enough power in that word to take them to the other side. And so he releases that word and goes to sleep. You know, and he's sleeping, deeper sleep. But some in between the journey, you know, there was a storm, which is the devil. And it was so terrible that, you know, the wind and all that, the waves were so. I don't know how many of you have traveled on boats before. You know, if you know a little bit about, you know, you will know that sometimes the sea can get very choppy. This last time my wife and I went to Hawaii, you know, we went on a, what they call it, a marine cruise. And God just arranged it that, because it rained that day. So all the other people who had booked, you know, we paid like everybody else, only $20 or something, you know. But nobody else came except us. So we had the whole boat to ourselves. Yeah, God does that sometimes. You know, we had the whole boat, except for the crew, you know. And they said that everybody else, you know, signed off because they were afraid of the weather. You know, because, you know, it was. And I told my wife, of course, I'm here. What kind of nonsense weather? Buy anything. And truly, to the glory of God, we did, you know, and the weather was fine, you know, but it was still a little. So there was a particular, we went out from the something, then things are going. I said, chill. I said, it's going to be fine. And it was fine, you know. But so I have a little bit of understanding. Sometimes waves can go as high as 12 feet. Sometimes 50 feet. If you have a small boat that is not really good, do you understand? Depending on the kind of waters you're in, you know, the waves can be so high, it can upturn the boat. Or they can be so high, they'll be splashing water inside the boat. That's what happened. Jesus was sleeping. And the waves would go. So water started entering. And entering. And entering. So the water inside the boat started increasing. So the boat began to sink. That's when they panicked. Before a fisherman like Peter can panic,
you can know that it's a big problem. Because, I mean, this is what he does every day for a living. So he's not a kind of guy who's be afraid of just some small wind. You know, it was really serious. And Jesus doesn't wake up. They don't understand this guy. So Peter goes, and you quickly run down. Like, okay, what, you don't understand what's carries down. We're about to finish. Perish. How about reign as a king in life? This is an example. And Jesus wakes up very angry that disturbs his sleep. I've been preaching this morning, I'm resting, come disturb me. So, you know, and he sees the situation, he sees the water in the boat, he sees the. The Bible says he did two things. He rebuked, he rebuked the wind and he spoke to the sea. Peace, be still. The king has talked. As he said those words, power came out of his mouth. Angels went instantly. Amen. And the root cause of the wind and all of that, there are geographical factors, which we know, but you know, there is a spiritual cause behind it. You understand? Was immediately nipped in the bud. The Bible says, and there was a great calm. Then he said, why are you so fearful? Where's your faith? I say the same thing today. Why are you so fearful? Hey, Nigeria! $360 to him. Yeah, we are perishing, oh. Why are you so fearful? I thought you were a king. Why are you so fearful? Don't be fearful. Are you listening to me? So, he comes to see. The lesson here is this. When you speak God's word with power, the angels have enough power to use to enforce what you have said, which is what a king does, you know, and there was a great calm, you know, and of course they got to the other side. So the reason why God wants us to reign as kings in life, I used Jesus, that example of the Lord Jesus, you know, is to be able to enforce the will of God in the lives of the people. Be sure of one thing, God forbid, if anything happened that something, nothing would have happened to Jesus. Amen. But you may not be able to say the same story for the others. He not only he saved everybody. Paul says he has given you all that sail with thee. When Paul was in a storm. So why do we reign as kings in life? So that we can save other men. People in your sphere of influence come under the covering of your kingship. Hallelujah. Your friends, your family, your cousins, your extended family, the unbeliever that doesn't know God, but simply because they are connected to you, amen, they get protected. Amen. That's why you have to learn how to reign properly. Jesus says, peace, be still. Save the boat. Save Peter and all the other guys. Even though they didn't have any faith at that time. They had faith, but they didn't use it. Now, God, Jesus was angry with them. Now, why you get, you know, you should have done the same. Now, if Peter could have done exactly what Jesus did, if they had just tried it. You know, Jesus had given the word. Let's go to the other side. It was already in the air. So, if Peter or John or James and all these big boys who, they want to sit at the right hand on the left hand, but they don't know how to rebuke the wind. You know, all big boys. If they just said, the master said, we're going to the other side. Peace, be still. It would have happened exactly like it happened with Jesus. And they would have been surprised.
Surprised, yes.
Because of their unbelief. And you and I need to learn that. You know, the master said, God said, we're going to the other side. Peace, be still. The same power that Jesus had released into the air. All they did, all they were acting was like an echo and a booster. It would have worked just as easily. So we must learn, thank you, to exercise our kingship in life, in Zoe, so that we can be a blessing to nations. We looked at this on Wednesday. Pastor Conley talked about it again today. It's just like a recurring decimal, but it's so important. Isaiah 25, we don't have to turn there, you know, where the Bible says that we will make a feast for all nations and we will remove the veil. There is a spiritual veil that is covering the nations, that is causing the great majority of the men on the earth today. As we speak today, 3rd of July, 2016, there is a veil covering all nations. People cannot see clearly spiritually. Their hearts, their minds are blinded. They are deceived by the enemy. But as kings begin to reign in Zion and release, they reign in life. They release, they take Zoe, they convert it to dunamis. Everybody say dunamis. I didn't hear you. I say Zoe, dunamis. Say Zoe, dunamis. See, Zoe is the life of God. Dunamis is the power that comes from the life of God. When the Bible says, and virtue went out of him and healed them, is dunamis. And the woman with issue of blood touched Jesus' garment and she, and virtue went out of him. Dunamis. It's where we get the English word dynamo, dynamite. It's power, raw power, creative power. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Dunamis. So you take Zoe, you convert it to dunamis, it comes out of your mouth. That's what happens when you pray in tongues, when you confess the word in faith. Watch this. Faith is the catalyst that converts Zoe to dunamis. If there's no faith in your heart, it stays inside the belly and doesn't come out. You know, we're learning a lot about spiritual things. They're real, folks. Faith is actually trusting in God, but it's a spiritual condition of the heart. Is when the heart is in faith that Zoe can become dunamis. Where there is no faith inside the heart, Zoe remains dormant. Can't produce anything. It's there, but it can't come out as power. Am I talking to anybody here? All right. So what we got here is that God wants us to. So we need to release dunamis. It is dunamis that we break the veil that's covering the nations. Are you listening to me? And then the people who couldn't see before will now, their eyes will now open. Then they will now come to this mountain, to the feast of fat things. Wine upon the lees, very fat. The people who didn't even used to go to church, people who didn't even believe the Bible before, will start appreciating revelation knowledge. Then they will start saying, Isaiah 2, one to another, let us go to the house of the Lord of God of Jacob, for he will teach us of his way. People will now be interested in knowing all these spiritual mechanics I'm talking about. Can you imagine? You know, years and years ago, God showed me that thing. You know what's going to happen? Internet. How can everybody from Japan come to Scripture Pasture? Or from Mongolia? Or Tagastigan? Or all those towns? Uzbekistan and every other one. And how can they come? They can't come here physically, but they can come here. They say, let us go to the mountain of the Lord's house. That's why God made the internet. So we can, I can be, as I'm preaching in Nigeria now, anybody in the world can be listening to me. So we know it's real. Let us go. You wouldn't be doing, they will be doing the evangelism among themselves. They'll be saying, I'm beginning to understand what these people are talking about. Let us go. Let us go to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We will know his ways. Then we will walk in his path. Because they will now see that godliness is profitable. So they will want to walk like us. Are you listening to me? Hence, we will now fulfill our prophetic destiny of being heirs of the seed of Abraham. And our, I shared this on Wednesday when Pastor Boyega was ministry, is to be a blessing to the nations. This is how we're going to do it. He says, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. When power is coming out of our mouths as kings, amen, removing the gross darkness, removing the veil, and then people now begin appreciating spiritual things, and then they are now blessed. So where all nations will now be blessed. Is it clear? This is why we are to reign as kings in life. Now, how? Briefly, I've already told us, but there's some scriptures I want to give us. I've told us we convert life to power through praying in tongues, groaning, travail, you know, making it a habit. You know, I was sharing some people, you know, recently, you know, put this thing on your phone once every 6 hours. So on your phone, 6 a.m., put alarm. 12, put alarm. 1800 hours, put alarm. 2400 hours, put alarm. So as you're walking, the thing just go, bzzz, you know, it's time to pray. Amen. Amen? You switch it off. You say, Father, I confess our sins. In Jesus' name, I have life. Lord, have mercy. Help me to pray in the Spirit to enforce your kingdom, perfect my obedience. You pray in tongues. Amen? You got in the next, 6 hours, go, bzzz, you know what you're doing? You're reigning as a king in life. Because what you're doing is that you're releasing power. That power will last about 6 hours. Once 6 hours starts to come, you know, it starts going down again into the air. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So what we do when we release Zoe and Dunamis, we put Dunamis inside the air. That power that we release inside the air now nullifies. It counteracts the power of the prince of the air. So the power that will now be dominant in the air around you, in your sphere of influence, will be dunamis and not Satan's power. So people are in your sphere of influence, their thinking will even be affected positively. Watch this. Have you seen how easy it is easy to do evil and hard to do good? Hello? Have you noticed? You understand? You know why? What is in the air that is controlling the minds and the will and the emotions of men? The prince of the power of the air, the spirit of, that now works in the children of Israel, fulfilling the desires of the heart and of the mind. Ephesians 2 and 3. You know? So what is inside the air? That's why you find it is easier to move along the way of sin than to move along the way of righteousness. How many people have noticed that? Hello? It's easier to sin than to do righteous. When you want to do the righteous thing, it's hard. When you want to sin, it's easy. Amen. Now, imagine changing that around. So it will now become easy to do righteousness and hard to do sin. That's what happens when we start reigning. In fact, in your own personal life, as you pray a lot, you begin to see this. That when you really pray properly and there's a lot of power in the air, it's so easy to do the right thing. And it's so difficult to do the wrong thing. You begin to reign as a king in life in Christ Jesus. That's the whole essence. So we begin to do this conversion. And something wonderful, I'm going to look at 3 or 4 scriptures and close, begins to happen. Number one, hallelujah. We begin to control the air. Then these scriptures become realities. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now the world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So what is inside you now, the power of God, because you're reigning as a king in life, now begins to dominate. Greater, everybody say, greater is he. The Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. The dunamis of the Holy Ghost that is in me than the power of Satan from the air through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I've just expanded that scripture. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You begin to see that, so it's true. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. The loss of the eyes comes, no effect. The loss of the flesh comes, no effect. The pride of life comes, no effect. Just walk away from it. Say, wow. I tell you the truth. In my personal experience, I began to walk in some of these things years ago, and I'm still growing. You know, don't misunderstand me at all. You know, I was I was happily surprised because I had been told all my Christian life that it's not possible. I've been told all my Christian life that we will always struggle with the flesh. When I began to put some of these principles into operation, I said, So it's true. Here's your cool. So they don't lie for us all this time. So it's actually true. Lust of the flesh come. It's like an anesthetic. You don't even want to go there. This same flesh. Lust of the eyes come. You're not interested. All these things the devil brings, you know, as shiny to other people, you just see through it. Phew. The pride of life, you know that the pride is going to destroy you. You know that the only safe place is humility. It's no longer attractive. The things that pump up other men, you know, the Bible says that which is greatly esteemed is an abomination. That's how it becomes in your own eyes. Somebody was saying to my wife, somebody was suggesting something to give us some kind of title. I said, me. Now, I appreciated the gesture. It was nice and kind. So I wasn't arrogant or anything like that. But I said, me. A worldly title. What do I want to do with it? It's beneath my anointing. What is the world going to give me? The world give me. God forbid, bad then. It's not pride, though. It's when you know who you are. It's like they are telling Jesus, we want to give you chieftaincy title. Odindi Jesu. But you are a king under him. Amen. I said it in Yoruba. What I mean is this. Don't let us take our anointing and, you know, mess it up in the world. The world has nothing to offer. What we have is far superior. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. All these worldly titles are tied to principalities. It's demons that give it to them. The things which the Gentiles sacrifice. They sacrifice not unto God but unto devils. You can't put one kind of funny away on your head. They give them things to eat. They make all kinds of incantations. Who are they doing it to? Devils. Then you want to go and take that? You. God forbid. Some people do it in ignorance. You know, they all think they are honoring them and it's a nice thing. But God forbid. When you know who you are, you understand? We are kings, oh. Serious ones. Hallelujah. There's nowhere. It's because the church hasn't grown and we're not exercising it as we should. You know, we'll be the people that will be most feared on the earth. When you pass like this, say, hey, come down peaceably. I say, she will see you. You say, peaceably, peaceably. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Next scripture. 1 John 2:14 says, you are strong. Young men, I've written unto you because you are strong. And the word of God abides, and you have overcome the wicked one. Have you noticed that this one, 1 John 4:4, deals with lust because it's the world. But this one deals with the air. He says, you have overcome the wicked one. The wicked one is a person. One specific, that's Satan, who is the prince of, it's not the princes of the power of the air, is the prince of the power of the air. So when you get to this level, you begin to control the air. I've written, and notice that the word of God plays a very important part. The word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome, not the wicked ones, the wicked one. The prince of the power of the air. You know what? You've just moved into his former position, the anointed cherub that covereth. Koshelemengraska. What he was doing before, you can now do. And surpass it. You now pass that level. Let me tell you something about Satan. I respect Satan. Oh. Now, don't think that's not unbelief. That's wisdom. Are you listening to me? When I say I respect Satan, it doesn't mean I honor him or I worship him. I know who he is. And I know his position. That's why when Gabriel was contending with the body of Moses, he could not rebuke Satan. Again, before. He said, the Lord rebuked thee. So when I say I respect Satan, it's in that light. Not that I respect the devil, but you know. So I understand his position or his former position. You see, he still has that position because of what Adam did. And so there are a lot of things he can do. But the only place you are safe is the word of God. Let me tell you a truth today. Maybe the other pastors may not tell you this, but I will tell you. Satan is far sharper than you. But in Christ, you are sharper than him. But only in Christ. That's why you need to pray a lot in tongues. So you'll be releasing the wisdom of God. When you're releasing the wisdom of God, you can draw rings around Satan. You move in the understanding, he'll finish you. Where are you coming from? Where are you going to? He already knows everything. He was the anointed to summing up the sum of wisdom. Before you do X, he knows where you're going. He served God for many, many years. We don't know how many. Billions. You're not a kiddo. But when we're in God, we can checkmate him. And we do checkmate him. He's scared of messages like this. That will open the eyes of people. See, eh? You know, the Bible says that in Isaiah or somewhere, it says, is this the man that weakened the nations? Show none, Isha. Is this the man? So we can finish him like this. But now, you know, God, we don't know, and so many people are blind, and there's a guy going around bullying everybody, you know, but you can deal with him. I didn't hear a very convincing amen. I don't know why Christians are afraid of the devil. Bible says, you are strong. Everybody say, I'm strong. And the word of God abideth in me. And I have overcome the wicked one. Now give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. First John 5:18. This is probably my concluding scripture. We know. Turn to your neighbor and say, I hope you know. I say, we know that whosoever. Oh, Shelemengra. Turn to your neighbor and say, blank check this one. This whosoever. I'm a whosoever. You are a whosoever. So God is talking to you and I. Hello, somebody. Whosoever is born of God. Sinneth not. If you look at the modern religion, it says it's not practicing sin. It doesn't live habitually in sin. That's what it means. But he that is begotten of God, keepeth himself. And that again, this same wicked one of 1 John 2 that you have overcome. He said, and that wicked one toucheth him not. There is a place in God. That's why we want to reign as kings in life. Well, Satan can't touch you. I didn't say he can't attack you. I said he can't touch you. Hence the scripture. A woman picked this thing by the Spirit because she didn't know what I had prepared. You know, she picked it by the Spirit. You know, when she was sharing with us that, you know, about making Jesus Lord so that you can have the protection and everything, because in these very difficult times. You can't even go to a restaurant and eat. I
said that in Yoruba. What I mean is, you can
be in a restaurant just eating. You have no assurance. How many police will they put all over the place? The man who will walk free today is he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High and abides under the shadow of the Almighty. I used to wonder about this scripture. Now I understand it. It was talking prophetically about the end time. 1,000 at your right hand, 10,000. That's heavy casualties. Oh, it's here now. That time is there. It's perilous times. Imagine 1,000 at your right hand, 10,000 at your. That's a whole 11,000, and you are the only one that God saved out of all of them. That's why, turn to your neighbor, say, that's why you must learn how to reign as a king in life. This is a compulsory course now. Because of the times we are living in. Watch this. Perilous times are not going to stop. Hey, Pastor, all this is your bad news. It's not bad news. You know, but it's the truth. That's the time we're living in. It's a part of the end time. But the good news is that you will survive the perilous times. Give the Lord a clap offering. Mommy Sarah said, the difference between the people who will make it and those who is the degree to which they make Jesus Lord. I said she picked it by the Spirit because she didn't know what I prepared. The difference, the Christian that makes Jesus Lord, not with mouth, but in deed. Says they call me Lord, Lord. But you don't do what I say. Of course, that's the meaning of Lord. Like she said, are you going to start arguing with Lord? Lord say, get up. You say, I'm tired. Lord say, pray. I don't feel like it. And he's not Lord. Hello. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? But the people who make Jesus Lord in reality and are reigning as kings in life like this, he keeps himself in the love of God. It doesn't say that explicitly. I'm expanding it by the Spirit for you. He keeps himself because, you see, love is the armor. The armor of love. Then love is he that dwelleth in the secret place. It's when you make the Most High your habitation. But the Most High is love. So when you make love your habitation, you put a protective force field around you that Satan cannot penetrate. That's what he means. The wicked one toucheth him not. He will touch the 10,000 on the right hand. He can touch the 1,000 on the left hand, but he will not touch you. And those that are connected to you. You know, Jesus said a beautiful thing. I got to close. He said, "Heaven." His last prayer in John 17. He said, the people you have given me, he said, I have kept them in my name. And I didn't lose any of them except the son of perdition. And he did it of his own free will. I am 100% certain, not because of Judas, but because I know Jesus. I've come to understand God's character. If Jesus had not killed himself, Jesus would have forgiven him, just like Peter. I've preached this before by revelation. It's not in the Bible. It's in the Bible in the sense that it's there in the spirit, but not the letter. Do you understand? When Judas, let me tell you what happened with Judas. He thought Jesus would escape. Okofe, look, you can just get some cash from these boys. Because Ojukokoro, he's been doing it for the last 3 years. He's the guy who is the treasurer, and there's always money coming in. All those women who bring him money, Herod, Judas, the wife of the steward of the king. He had a lot. Jesus had a lot of rich guys who were around him who kept bringing in. There was always so much money in Jesus' ministry. That's why he had to have a treasurer.
Yes, sir.
People who don't have money, how many of you have treasurers? You understand? Even the money to pay the treasurer. So you can show up, but anybody who has a treasurer is a very rich person. Are you listening? Jesus had a treasurer. That a lot of money. Lots. If you don't have money, how can you think of buying food for 5,000 people? You know, that was Philip's first thought. The problem was where they were, not the money. They were in the wilderness, and there was no easy access to where they could buy. They could afford to have bought enough bread for 5,000 people. So he goes to Jesus and said, "Ah, how can we buy bread for those people?" So we're in the wilderness. And he just said, "Chill. What do you guys have?" He said, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. He said, "Get them to sit down." That's a king talking. He's about to create bread from heaven. Glory to God. Hey, amen. That's some bread I want to eat, man. Can you imagine? God took the bread. He looked up. He gave thanks. Then they began to divide it. The thing never finished. They would divide. And they would divide. And they would divide. And they would divide. That's a great miracle. The fish too. They began. Fresh fish from. So they have fish in heaven. Obviously, amen. Because those 5 fishes, they began to multiply. They said they ate and they were full. Then they now gathered the waste, and it was 12 baskets full. Deliberately recorded in detail for the skeptics. And you are going to do greater works. You are like. Hallelujah. Hello, me, I got a miracle. I want to. If we do the miracle, then you go and sell it. You say, "Oh boy, go and sell it." You know, we have only 2, we have only 5. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. In Jesus' name. Oh, yeah, divide. Oh, yeah, man, sell. The Lord thy God that you just need to profit. Don't try with this anointing. No. It's not for that kind of nonsense. Are you listening to me? But truly the Lord, he did that, multiplied the bread, people were filled and everything, you know. You have, you sinneth not, the wicked one toucheth him not. He will attack, but he will not be able to penetrate your armor. You will feel it sometimes, you will feel the attack. It's like being in a air-conditioned room or a soundproof room, and there's noise outside. You're hearing the noise, but it's not really. Just say, it's not disturbing you. We are living this world. The perilous times have come to stay. I know it sounds like bad news, but it's the truth, because we're approaching the end of time. Many, many men are ungodly. Some are going to get saved, some will not. So we're going to, but that's not, that don't let that disturb you. Are you listening to me? Let me use one illustration. You know, there's law of gravity. Law of gravity has not stopped. It's there. In 1600, the law of gravity stopped them from flying. They couldn't fly from London. It's the same law of gravity. Nothing has changed. Same Atlantic Ocean. Nothing has changed. In 1611, when the King James Bible was written. But they could not go from London to Nigeria in 6 hours. Then, it would take them maybe a year using sails. They didn't even have all these mechanized steamboats. That hadn't been invented. All they had was this. You depend on the wind. You put the sail up, then you just trust that the wind will come. It will blow you. When the wind goes and changes direction, you take your sails down. So you keep walking on something, and you wait for another wind, and then gradually, you know. So you take them months, sometimes years, sometimes a whole year. If you are traveling from Liverpool or any of the coasts of England, you know, and coming here to West Africa, you know, during the slave trade and all of that. It's same, nothing has changed. What's the difference today? Wisdom and power. Wisdom to make an aeroplane and the power to fuel it and make it overcome the law of gravity. The law of gravity has never been suspended. It's there. but we can overcome it anytime we want, because we now know the law of lift that gives us, shows us how to overcome the law of gravity. So we overcome it 10 times out of 10. So it is. Iniquity is abounding. The perilous times have come, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Yes, there'll be perilous times, but as you learn to reign as a king in life, it won't matter. You will neutralize the perilous times. 1,000 will fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near thee. Let us pray. Talk to God. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. So learn to reign as a king in Zoe. You're already a king potentially. Pastor Kunle taught us in the Bible study. But you have to actualize it in practice. And that's how you do it. All pray in spirit, you know, put the life of God, use the blood, the word, and the spirit. Then you begin to speak the God's word. Then power comes out of your mouth. Your angels are able to operate. Start with praying in every morning, 15 minutes at least. That love prayer. Then when you go out every 6 hours, at least, it's at least, though, it's not, it's at least. You know, it's not, I say it's at least. And at every opportunity, every time, I noticed this in my personal life over the years as I've been growing spiritually, you know. I'll just be doing many things. You know, I'll be involved in this, involved in that. You know, maybe I'm on the computer, or I'm studying, or I'm doing something, or we're traveling. All of a sudden, there'll just be a calm. I'll just receive a prompt. Pray. I will just... All of us have it too. The problem is that so many people either don't recognize it, or they recognize it or ignore it. You will just find there will be a lull in your activities. It may not be long, or it may be 2 minutes. It may be 5 minutes. One thing I use very frequently is going to the toilet. Either I'm in an airport or I'm outside, and I just feel like going to the bathroom. You know, once I go, I'm the private. I pray. I hardly ever go to the bathroom and not pray. It's opportunity. What's wrong with us? It's opportunity. All time, you know, and you know, especially our young people now, text, WhatsApp, text. There's nothing wrong in that too. But you know, you just remember that before I text, let me pray.
Amen. Yes, sir.
My children know. You know, tonight they will call me, I won't pick the phone. They know daddy's praying. Not because I'm not going to pick it, I call them back. I don't let anything interrupt my prayer life. Learn that thing. Program your phone. Then every opportunity you get, pray in the spirit. If you are with Christians who understand, you know, all of you pray together. What's wrong with you? Doesn't matter what they call you, spiritual. Who doesn't want to be spiritual? She was a canani. Only spirit. She was a canani. Alone, she was a canani. It's good to have a reputation as being spiritual. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Oh God, glory to God. Woo! I am excited. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Say, God, I'm going to reign. I'm going to start practicing. You know, you don't have to wait until you are spiritually mature. Anybody, that's why we like Pastor Kunle preach beautifully, they're kings and they're princes. Anybody can start exercising this. It's just your sphere of influence may not be as big as my own, but you have your own sphere of influence. Even if it's just you, your wife, your children, or your immediate family, if you're not yet married, maybe just your household, maybe about 10 of you. There's captains over tens, there's captains over 50s, there's captains over hundreds, there's captains over thousands. So if you are just on 10, even 10, you know, 10 is a lot. By the time you take your mommy, your daddy, your siblings, you're already almost 10. Reign! And put notice on Satan. You don't mess around here. Thank you, Jesus. love divine,
all love's excelling joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercy is crowned.
Jesus!
Jesus, thou art all
compassion. Kings yet, but you can reign in your small domain, whether it's over 10s, over 50s. If you have a business, for example, maybe you're looking at 50s, 100s, or people in your employment, you want to reign in that domain. If you're a student, you want to reign where you are. When you enter your class, everybody behaves themselves. Yes. Can do it. Things work when you're around because you're reigning as a king in life. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I repent of my unbelief. Help thou my unbelief. I choose to believe your word. that I can reign now in this life as a king with the life of God, with Zoe, converting it to dunamis power so that your angels can enforce your will in my life by the force of spiritual arms. Oh God, I understand what you have told me, and I consecrate myself to make Jesus Lord, and by that lordship to reign as a king in this life by the life of God. By the Zoe in me, I will reign as a king in life, and so be a blessing to humanity around me in my sphere of influence. I will bless them, protect them, release God's blessings upon them, because I'm reigning as a king in life by Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's stay where we are. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. Yeah, in another place, he said, watch and pray always. Put the two scriptures together, you get this. If you watch and pray always, then always you will not enter into temptation. It's called perfection. It's not rocket science. If you watch and pray always, then always you won't enter into temptation. Mommy printed a graphic picture this morning about David. David took his eye off the ball. Probably months, a year. And his heart deteriorated. He didn't realize it. If a man as great as David, a man who loved God, he was careless. The root of David's problem was not the adultery and all that. It was prayerlessness. David knew Deuteronomy 17. When you make a king, this book of the law will be with him. He will read out of it. Obviously, he hadn't done that. He wasn't doing that when all those things were happening. First of all, he didn't go to battle. Like Mom said, even if he had stayed at home because he was tired, at least he could have been praying for Joab and the others in the field. In fact, in those days, what used to, it's still the same thing today. When you go to the war front, there is the war front and there is not the war front. There will be a place where they are fighting. You may be 5 miles away from that place. They will have a tent for the king and all of that. You know, he will just be in his something. If he's tired and he can't go and fight, you know, but he will still be with them. Only that he will not be at the. There are so many ways of escape for David. Because he didn't pray. If you pray, you will save yourself a lot of wahala. Things that are going to happen will happen. What Satan is planning will not happen. What you should not see, you will not see. What you should not do, you will not do. Let's learn to watch and pray always. Once every 6 hours and at every opportunity. The Holy Ghost knows what's coming. So anytime you get a prompt to pray, don't play with it all. Because the reason why he's prompting you is to preempt something that the enemy's come that you cannot see. But the Holy Ghost sees all. Now, put one hand on your body. This issue of our health is also very critical. It's one area Satan has been fighting us. Kai, you know, different attacks here and there. But you need to let him know you're going to live, you will not die. You will live in good health. There's never, I want to repeat it, it gets deep into your heart and into your subconscious. It is never the will of God for you to be sick. Never. The leper came and said, "Can I be, do you heal me if you will?" He said, "I will." In the nameless leper, leper that nobody knew. How much more you, a child of the King? You know what Jesus called healing? The children's bread. Even an unbeliever could get the crumbs, talk less of you. You are not an unbeliever. You're not a dog. You're sitting on the table. It's your personal right. Put your hand on your body. Raise your other hand to God. Say, "Father, I confess our sins, and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. I say with my mouth that by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection life and power, I am healed. I have been legally set free from every sickness and disease because Jesus took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. So I release now healing power, resurrection, life, healing power into my body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my kidney, my liver, my blood vessels, all my internal organs, into the DNA of every cell in my body so they will operate error-free, into my immune system so it will operate optimally error-free. I say I am healed and live in divine healing and health. I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Now fire. Don't play Mickey Mouse with the devil. In Jesus' name, join hands with somebody as we share the grace and close the service. God wants every single one of us here to live here with a strong warrior mentality. Whenever you are attacked, and you will be attacked, I can promise you that. It's not negative, I'm just telling you the truth. Whenever you are attacked by Satan, sickness, whatever, you know, instantly, firstly at the thought level, instantly reply it. Have the mercy of God, the blood, the word, the spirit, I'm healed, or whatever it is. Your thoughts is very important. Then once you have the opportunity to pray, go and look for somewhere where you can pray. You release God's word. If you have to go to the doctor and you're given medication, I've said this before, but it bears repetition. God is asking me to say it again. As you are taking the medicine, usually say like your antibiotics, which you take, say, once every 6 hours or once every 8 hours, you know, 3 times a day. Many antibiotics are like that, like ampicillin and some of them like that. You know, some of them are once every 6 hours. Before you put that mess in your mouth, stop. Pray. then take the medicine. I didn't say don't take the medicine. I said pray. So just before you take the medicine, say, Father, I confess our sins. In Jesus' name we have life. I say by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. The healing power of God is working in my body. And then pray in tongues, maybe for about a minute, then take the medicine. Take it with the same diligence you take the natural medicine. So if they give it to you, they say you take morning, afternoon, and night. When you're going to take the natural medicine, take the spiritual one first, then take the natural. Take the spiritual one first, then take the natural. Take the spiritual one first. You will see how you will, your recovery will be so speedy. Don't mess around with Satan. Let him know you are a warrior, you know who you are, and you are served notice on him. That is, as far as your own life is concerned, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to live, we will not die. I didn't hear amen. I didn't. Your amen was not even convincing. I say, as for me and my, everybody say it, as for me and my house, we will serve God. Jesus is Lord. We will live and we will not die. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. I said the Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. I say you are going to live and you will not die. In the name of Jesus, you possess the gate of death. You will be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. In the name of Jesus, I release upon you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, amen.